Carey Price should be suspended right now. And Gary Bettman reminds us, as he does on a weekly basis, that he's an asshat. We roll on a busy afternoon, Friday afternoon, in the TCA studios. This is Unforced Errors, number 30.
Do, do, do. Do, 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 do. Do, do, do.
Yeah. This is the second Unforced Errors of the day. Unfortunately timed, since I still have no idea, for those of you who joined us on Unforced Errors number 29 earlier in the day, whether or not iTunes is working. Those of you on Stitcher and Google Play Music, I believe, are getting these on time. Those of you who have made tallcanaudio.com part of your daily web crawl, we appreciate that. And you, of course, are also getting these on time. But from everything we understand, the iTunes podcast thing, the big giant floating brain in the sky, is struggling along today. Just terribly timed for us because we're feeling productive. In this case, we being me. As we move forward towards the holidays, I don't want to tease too much because I've been burned heavily by that before. Many of you will recall, and I still believe this is going to happen, probably not until the new year now, given how busy people's schedules get. The last guest I teased was Jody Mittick, and I have nothing but good things to say about him, despite the fact that we had to reschedule. And it kind of makes me laugh a little bit. Jody Mittick, for those of you who do not know or don't recall, was a sniper in the Canadian Forces. A badass. And so we're talking, we've made plans, he's going to come over and record audio Whiplash on a Tuesday evening, I believe it was. And he calls me last second, and I don't mean that to sound negative, because it certainly was not, and says, something's come up. Can we push it back an hour or two? Yeah, sure, man. No problem. You know how to kill a man from like 7 kilometers away. Whatever you want to see happen right now is what we're going to do. So he calls me again a little later. Yeah, something came up for my wife, and I have to take my daughter to dance class. And there's something really sweet about that. Everybody's got a real life, right? Everybody understands that what I do for work and what I do at home are very different. But I can't tell you how much I enjoy the juxtaposition. Great word. You absolutely should be using that word more. It's awesome. Word of the day, toilet paper. Juxtaposition of this badass Canadian sniper taking his daughter to dance class. It's adorable. So not only did this man serve his country, he's now serving his family, and that's awesome. So we have all the time in the world for Jody Mittick, and I absolutely believe we will make this happen in the new year. So I don't want to say too much about this other tease, because for all I know, she may have a piano, this guy's daughter may have a piano recital that night. You just never know. But I think we have a pretty cool Whiplash coming up for you as we head into the holidays. So stick around for that. And once I get that actually recorded and in the can, locked down where it cannot go wrong, I'll start releasing a little bit more. This particular episode, this is number 30 of the Unforced Errors podcast, and it will likely be short. As I mentioned earlier, if some of you joined us on number 29, I'm dying, I think. I'm not feeling it in my throat so much yet, although that's always secondary for me. But I haven't ruled out the possibility that if I stuck a pin in my head right now, snot would just roll out everywhere. My sinuses are, yeah, that was pretty gross, I'm sure, for some of you listening to this, maybe in the dinner hour. How's it going? Hope you're enjoying those mashed potatoes. You ever used a neti pot? Man, it always seemed so gross to me. A buddy of mine that I've known forever, he would swear by it. It always seemed terrible to me. But I started using it, and man, the pressure it can release. So I have a date with the neti pot scheduled very shortly, and then I'm probably going to bed. Yes, it's only like 4 p.m., but something's coming, and I can tell it's going to be awful. So after this podcast, you may not hear from me for like a week and a half, which wouldn't be all that uncommon on this network, I understand. A couple of things I wanted to get to back in the sporting vein. For those of you who missed episode 29, we talked a lot of tech, which is kind of a secondary passion of mine. I find it very interesting. I love talking about it. And we've received some good feedback in the past, and we've done shows in that vein. So every now and then, I like to throw it back in there. As I mentioned on that show, Unforced Errors kind of almost become a secondary sports show, which was not at all my intent. But that just sort of is where my passions lie. And so, you know, that tends to dominate a little bit. But every now and then I want to discuss other things, and tech is one of those things. So you can check that out on Unforced Errors number 29. Tall Can Sports 100 is something we've gotten some really fun feedback on. Rob and I debated an all-time Team Quebec versus an all-time Team Canada. If you haven't had a chance to check that out, I think you'll enjoy it. Rob was tasked, based on his own loud mouth, that he could build a Team Quebec that could hang with an all-time Team Canada. And to be honest, I think he did. His defense is god-awful compared to mine. I had the privilege of drafting Team Canada. But holy shit, is he's going to score a lot of goals. And he's got fantastic goaltending. His team is like the late 1980s Edmonton Oilers on steroids. Except I have Paul Coffey. But they're going to score a buttload of goals. And they're going to have Patrick Waugh, Marty Brodeur, and Jacques Plante. So I don't want to give away too much. If you haven't had a chance to check that out, you can find that at tallcanaudio.com. It is the most recent Tall Can Sports episode. So you just click on Tall Can Sports. It'll be right there. Or, of course, on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher. Oh, you know, we're everywhere, man. Just type in Tall Can Audio, Tall Can Sports, whatever you want. It'll come up. Tall Can Sports 100. That was a lot of fun. So check that out if you haven't had a chance yet. It's kind of a fun mix of let's drink some beer and yell at each other about sports and look back into hockey history. So if you're interested in those sorts of things, yelling at each other and beer and hockey, this will be a great crossover show for you. Two things that kind of stand out to me right now. And I'm going to get to the bigger one second. Bob McKenzie had some interesting things today on Leafs Lunch regarding NHL participation at the Olympics. And that's been kind of one of those things that I've been kicking around for a while. I am absolutely interested in that topic because I think it shows a unique glimpse into the hypocrisy that is Gary Bettman's NHL. And I'm kind of hard on Gary on these shows, stemming back quite a long ways. It might have been like Tall Can Sports number like 45, 46, where I said Gary Bettman had a punchable face. And I stand by that. I think when I look at him, I think you're very punchable. I could see people punching you. I could see me punching you. And I'm not suggesting anyone does it. I just think when you look at that face, you go, yeah, I could punch that. That's a punchable face. So, no hiding of the bias over here. I think Bettman's terrible. I love the Bob McCowan calls him the Count because he absolutely has that vibe to him. You remember the Sesame Street Count? And one unnecessary lockout. Two unnecessary lockouts. Yeah. That guy, the Count. So we're going to get to that in a second. Interesting scenario playing out last night involving the Habs. And I don't know how far down this road we want to go, but Carey Price loses it at one point. He's kind of getting run, and that's a whole other scenario. You know, when is a goalie getting run and when is his own defenseman, like Jeff Petrie, throwing a forward into him? Which is sort of what happened here. But I get why Price has got a short fuse for these things, because he's the best goalie in the world, and so this happens to him more than it happens to anyone else. Like, literally anyone else. So, I mean, for those of you who haven't seen it, Price gets run over by New Jersey's Kyle Palmieri. And Palmieri clearly makes no real attempt to avoid Price. But that's the modus operandi at this point of any forward in the league. I'm going hard to the net, and if I can make it look like an accident, I'm probably going to hit the goalie. So this has happened twice to Price in the same night, and honest fuck. This is one of those things, I'm going to do a whole show on it at some point, the garbage media, and this isn't just sports media that thinks everything should have a pun, everything should be clever. Instead of having an informative headline and article, it has to be something. So here's the CBC headline is, "Mess with Carey and you'll pay the price." You're so funny. Ugh. Awful. Awful. So anyway, everyone seems to be somewhat ignoring the fact that Jeff Petrie, Price's own defenseman, does literally nothing to stop this from happening. Now, later on, he would almost seem to be covering up Palmieri, which was strange, other than maybe the fact that he's trying to stop Price from getting suspended. And that's what I want to talk about here, just briefly. I get why Montreal fans are upset. I do. When you have the best goalie in the world, and arguably the best player in the world on your team, and people are taking liberties with him, it would get old in a hurry. As I'm sure it does for Price himself. I got guys skating towards me at, some of them, over 30 kilometers an hour. And if they fall or trip or stumble, they're not going to make much of an effort to avoid me. He's coming off an injury. There's a lot happening here. But every team, not just wants, needs to protect their number one goal. Okay, you have Carey Price, and he's the best. I don't think there's any disputing that. But where are the Rangers if Lundqvist gets hurt? Right? Like, you're not the only team who needs their starting goalie to survive. And so watching the, I guess I haven't finished the story here completely yet. After this happens, Price starts filling in Kyle Palmieri with his blocker hand. He drops his stick and he starts wailing on him. Now the first shot is directly to the head. And I don't know if at that point he kind of loses focus or he gains focus and realizes he can't do this. There's a couple of more shots that he buries hard into Palmieri, but they're more the back or the kidneys or the ribs kind of area. Here's the problem. The rules clearly state Price is to be thrown out of the game, which carries an automatic one-game suspension. Now, the league can look at it and undo the one-game suspension for the next game, right? So he's supposed to have to leave this game and miss the next game. The league can overturn the one game, the second game, if you want to call it that. But he is to be thrown out of that game. The rule could not be clearer. And the ref instead gives him a 4-minute roughing double minor. So, okay. I think we all have to understand the fact that Carey Price has been given the benefit of the doubt. Based on his reputation, based on how cool and calm he normally is, I can't remember the exact scenario now. I remember watching at the World Cup. I think it might have been the first game, the first exhibition game against the Americans. If you remember, that was really chippy. And I would just be guessing now, so I don't want to throw out. There was a lot of guys doing stupid shit, right? Which you do. You're trying to stir things up. It might have been Pavelski, right? It might have been, you know, it could have been anyone. I don't want to guess. Now I have. I've thrown Joe Pavelski's name out there. I don't know that it was him. And one of the Canadian defensemen runs in after this American player comes hard at Price. And Price actually gets in between his own defenseman and this other guy to calm him down. Hey, I'm okay. And they're about to get a penalty. Don't you take one and take this power play. He's a calm guy. He does his job. He stays focused. And he lost it this time. And I don't necessarily blame him because, like I said, it would get old. But when anyone mentions the fact that the ref did technically blow it here, Habs fans are losing their minds.
Well, how about you protect the best player in the game?
Yeah, you got a point, but he lost it. And he started burying his blocker hand into someone's head. He absolutely should be suspended. And he wasn't, based on his reputation. So we're all okay here. We can all go, yeah, I guess it's going to happen because he gets it. But as soon as you point out the fact that by the letter of the law, by the rule book, he should be suspended. Habs fans are the worst. They lose their goddamn minds on you. They can't just understand that they got away with one. It's somehow the league's fault for not protecting him. You know what? There might be something to that. But if I run over you, I deserve to be penalized. And if you, in response to that, bury your blocker into my fucking cheekbone, you deserve to be penalized. But only half of that seems to register. It's interesting because there's a little bit of comparison here, and not a great one, so I don't want to. But Connor McDavid kind of snapped this week. He buries a goal against the Flyers with Brandon Manning on the ice. Brandon Manning, for those who don't remember, was involved in McDavid getting hurt last season. And McDavid scores against them and turns and just starts chirping them. And I'm loving it. Look, any of you who've been listening to this for a while now understand I'm not exactly an Oilers fan, and I kind of like making fun of them. And there's going to come a time, and that time might be here, although it looked more like that a month or so ago than it does right now, where it's going to be hard to make fun of them. They're clearly turning the corner. But he turns around and he starts giving it to this guy. Now, he didn't start smashing him in the face, so there's a bit of a, I got no problem with the guy standing up for himself, but he is going to have to face the repercussions. That goes for Price, just like it would have gone for McDavid if he'd have taken his shit too far. And I do think there's something to the idea that, you know, Price buried one or two into this guy's head and went, yeah, I still want to hit you, but I understand I have to stop hitting you in the head. It's an interesting debate I've heard a couple players comment on today. You know, when you get hit with a blocker. a couple guys going, yeah, you know what? If you think getting hit with a blocker is worse than getting hit with a hard, you know, bunched up human fist, you've never been hit with a fist before. And I believe that to be more the side that I err on. The counter is that blocker sticks out about 4 or 5 inches past the actual hand. And so I can wail on you for a lot longer with a blocker on. I can't necessarily hit you harder. I got a lot of goalie gear and shit on here, but, you know, it's a little different. But there were some players saying, yeah, you know what? It sucks, but I'll take a blocker shot to the head before a hard human fist, but I'm going to have to take a lot more of them. because he's not wearing out his hand on me. So it's just one of those things where, you know what? Carey Price might be the best player in the game, and he got the benefit of the doubt. But you cannot argue. If you've seen it, if you understand the rules, he should have been suspended. Count your blessings that he wasn't and carry on, but don't be an idiot and somehow still look at it like the league is out to get you. The league just did you a favor. So that was just one of those things that, and it might be, you know, we do a lot of time on Twitter here to get ready for these shows. It's easy place to get opinion. It's easy place to find news stories and links and stuff like that. It's also an easy place to just lose your fucking mind with some of the stuff that gets said out there. Carey Price should be suspended right now. One game, probably, that's about it. Nothing long, nothing crazy. But by the letter of the law, that's what should have happened. And he got away with one. And maybe based on his reputation, he should have. But pretending that that's not the case is, man, it's almost laughable. So like I referenced a little while ago, and I don't think anyone would argue that Bob McKenzie is probably the most plugged in of all the insiders. I think Friedman's coming a long way. I really like Elliot Friedman on Sportsnet, but most of the rest of their guy, I mean, I don't know. From time to time, Kiprios seems like maybe he knows something, but Doug McLean and I don't know. Chris Johnston I like over there as well, but Bob McKenzie really is still the kingpin. So he's on TSN today, and he's going over some interesting points here when we start to talk about more of whether or not the NHLers are going to go to the Olympics, and maybe as interestingly, what happens if they don't? So we'll get to Gary here in a second, because I never have any shortage of things to say about him. But there was also a meeting this week in Zurich between the IIHF and the different federations, right? Hockey Canada and USA Hockey, all the European feds and whatever. And some of these European leagues, apparently, and really, why wouldn't they be, I guess, are just as tired as the NHL of shutting down their leagues or losing their top players in the middle of the season to go to the Olympics. And there are some discretionary things that happen there, or discrepancies is a better word than discretionary. You'll excuse me as I'm about to OD on DayQuil. Let's say you're a Canadian or an American. These are really the only two where it applies. A lot of different things happen in Europe, but you're not playing in the NHL and you sign a deal to go to Sweden, was the example that Bob used. But it could apply in Switzerland or Finland. I don't know, the KHL, they like to think of themselves as a bigger deal than they really are, so they might be a little more hard-ass about it, but I don't think so. I think this is pretty standard. If I'm a Canadian guy, right, which I am, interestingly enough, but if I'm a Canadian guy who's good at hockey, which I am not, and I can't find a job in the National Hockey League and I end up in Sweden, it's built into every transfer between Hockey Canada, who's transferring me over there, and the Swedish Hockey Federation or the Swedish Elite League. If Hockey Canada comes calling, you have to let me out. Because in theory, it would stand to reason that Sweden might not want to let me do that. A, because my club team might need me, but B, I could be a guy who could then hurt Sweden, right? Playing against them. Now, this doesn't usually happen at a World Cup level, at an Olympic level, because if I'm a Canadian guy playing in the Swedish Elite League, there's a good chance that I'm not going to be riding shotgun with Sidney Crosby at the Olympics. But that's built in. And this is all stuff, again, that I've got opinions and stuff here, but these facts are what I'm taking from Bob. And so they have to let me go. Whereas if I'm a Swedish guy playing in the Swedish Elite League and my club team doesn't want me to go, they can block me. So it gets really interesting in the fact that Swedish club teams paying Canadian guys might have literally no say in the fact that they could lose one of their top guys to go and play against Sweden when they could tell their own homegrown guy, you can't go. So that's a wrinkle that is interesting to consider. Should the NHLers not go? Like, what is this tournament going to look like? For those of you who don't know, and man, longtime buddy of mine, Shane and I, Shane Miller, and I wouldn't mind having him on the show sometime, but I've known Shane since I'm 5 years old, and for some reason, it's been this long time running joke, the Spangler Cup. And I don't know why. There's some good guys who play in it, or former NHLers, or, you know, guys who are just making it. Matt Domichelli, right? Ben Scrivens, right? Guys like that who are making their livings over in Europe going playing it. But it's, I think the problem is that it's going up against the World Juniors. So to us, it just feels very secondary, very Bush League, right? Is that what the Olympic tournament looks like if the NHL doesn't go? One suggestion I heard a few years back that isn't a bad one, I think, is that every 4 years, if the NHL is not in, you move the World Junior Hockey Championships to the Olympics. That would work. Now, you take away from a huge property, because technically now every 4 years, you don't have a World Juniors. And it's growing a bit in Europe. It still means nothing in the United States, but some countries, Sweden especially, Germany's got into it a bit, even though they don't make the A division every time. But in Canada, especially for TSN, they're not going to be okay with that, because TSN is not the official broadcaster of the Olympics, but they have paid for a decade-long rights worth of the World Junior. So that has its own complications. You would almost have to have a second World Junior tournament. You could do kind of like soccer does, and I don't know the exact numbers, but it is an under-23 tournament. So in theory, you could have the top junior players and some guys who are playing in the American Hockey League who haven't quite made the NHL yet, but are, you know, projected still at 20, 21, 22 years old to have good careers. What soccer actually does, though, which I don't see happening here, is they allow a certain number, it's no more than two or three, of overaged guys. So technically, and this would never happen, but you would send the World Junior team along with a couple guys from the AHL, and then, I don't know, Carey Price, Sidney Crosby, and, you know, take your pick, Shea Weber. That's never going to happen either. The NHL is not going to let a couple of guys go. So, certainly not their best guys, right? Russia sends a team of their juniors or whatever, and it's then also Malkin, Ovechkin, and, you know, again, whoever. So that's not going to happen either. But you start to wonder, what is this thing going to look like? And there's no real answer to that right now. And they brought it up at a couple of the European federations, brought it up this week at the IIHF meetings and saying, well, what are we going to do if the NHL doesn't go? And Rene Fassel and a couple of the higher-ups at IIHF kind of went, ah, let's just worry about that later, wait and see what happens. And there are some organizations, there are some federations that believe this is going to be chaos. Because, and I'm kind of going to circle into the NHL area this now, that a lot of people think at this point they're not going. And I can tell you exactly how you put a stop to this. The IOC, all they do is pick up the phone and go, hey, fuckers, if you're not coming to 2018 in Pyeongchang, you're not coming to Beijing in 2022. And I guarantee you Gary gets his little fucking minions in line in a hurry. Because the NHL sees no financial benefit to themselves, which is fair. They got to look out for their own business. But to go in 2018, they don't see any future business in Korea. I don't know if that's true or not. It probably is. That this is something that the Korean market is not going to become a huge NHL market. And they're 14 hours ahead of us. So if Canada's playing at 2 p.m. local time in Pyeongchang, it's midnight here. And that's about the time that you're going to be looking at a gold medal game. They usually play that at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock local time of the final Sunday of the Olympics, so that those players can finish up and be at closing ceremonies that evening. That's a 10 p.m. start Eastern time here in Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, New York, whatever. Not impossible, but it's not great because you know your team's not going to play every day at noon. A 4 p.m. start, a 7 p.m. start, local, it's the middle of the fucking night. So there's no real benefit in terms of the NHL in terms thinking they're going to grow an audience in America. Because the audience will be there in Canada. There'll be piles and piles and piles of Canadians up at 3 in the morning watching Team Canada. That's going to happen. So can we grow any fans in the local or in Korea? Well, no. They don't seem to think that's likely, and they might be right. In 2022, in Beijing, they don't think that's true. That's a huge market. That's a huge television market that started to take some interest in hockey, and they want to be there. They do. They want to be at that one. So they kind of want to pick and choose when they're going to go and when they're not. And this is all stacked on top of the fucking lies that Bettman has already told. Well, it's money. Our owners don't want to pay for it. And then Rene Fassel and the IHF go, yeah, don't worry about it. We found the money. We're good. Well, it's not just money. Wait, well, that's exactly what you said it was. It was when if we take that money, you know, from Hockey Canada and Hockey Finland, Hockey Sweden, you know, I don't know what those organizations are actually going. We could be taking it away from grassroots. You know, if they can find that money, they could put it towards kids. Oh, stop. Really? The noble National Hockey League is stepping up for kids hockey. Where did you think this money was going to come? When you said, we won't pay for it, who else did you think was going to pay for it? You just didn't think they would do it. And they did it. They found the money and they said, got it covered. And then you went and found a bunch of other fucking excuses. All of these things that they're saying today about we don't want to shut down our league, it's probably true, right? We don't know about shutting it down for 2 weeks. Okay. We don't know about the money. Okay. You do, but you can say you don't. Any number of reasons that they might want to give you to say, we just don't think it's worth it to go to 2018. Remember that when in 2022, all of a sudden it's okay. Well, you know, we don't mind shutting down the league and it's, we don't mind. But yeah, because there's something to gain for you. And I get it. That's not stupid business, right? You do have to watch out for your own bottom line and what's good for your own business, but you have a partner. 50-50, the Players Association, and they badly want to go. And now you're trying to beat them over the head. The other side of this, for people who haven't caught the last couple where I've ranted on this, if they sign a new collective, if the NHL saying if the players sign to continue this exact collective bargaining agreement for another 3 years, we'll go. What about all the other stuff you just said? Shutting down the league and all the money and you're taking it away from kids hockey and grassroots and whatever. Nah, if they sign the thing, we'll go. It's all crap. It's all crap. And he has no problem standing there in front of the cameras with his stupid, punchable face and lying to everyone. And this isn't just me hating on him, because I do that anyway. These are all facts. You can sit down. You can do the reading. You can understand why they want to go in 6 years. They just don't want to go in 2 years. If I'm the IOC, yeah, fuck you. Are you in or are you out? You're not going to pick and choose. We're not going to have this discussion every 4 years. It means almost nothing to the IOC. It means everything to hardcore hockey fans, and it means everything to players who want to represent their country. It means nothing to the IOC. The Olympics sell themselves. Because look at the ratings that TSN gets for the World Juniors. These are people that, for the most part, they're 20-year-old kids you've never heard of. Canada, is still going to watch the Olympics. There will be a hockey team that shows up with the Maple Leaf on their jersey, and we will watch. We would prefer to watch the NHL. But we're going to watch either way. Which also means if I was, you know, if I'm a Canucks fan and Team Canada's playing at 10 p.m. Eastern, that's when the Canucks are on. I'm going to probably watch Team Canada for 2 weeks. It's something different. I might actually be taking away from the NHL. There are certain guys out there saying they're going to go either way. Really, Ovechkin's leading that group. And I've said this a few times now. And it won't happen. But if all these guys, if Victor Hedman and Erik Karlsson and Carey Price and John Tavares and Sidney Crosby and, I don't know, Ben Bishop, top guys from every country just went, yeah, you know what? I'm going. What would be the recourse? 30 NHL owners that when their guys get back go, you're suspended for 2 weeks from my team. Yeah, okay. I kind of need to relax. That was a tough Olympic tournament. Enjoy losing while I take another 2 weeks off. No. They won't do it. Hockey players are respectful, and the NHL will try and sell it like you're abandoning your teammates, even though the majority of players all want to go. But it's a... The thing is so hypocritical, and it is so transparent. Like, John Shannon reports today that the NHL owners, and this is true, and I don't normally agree with a lot of the stuff that John Shannon has to say over at Sportsnet. He's a former TV executive. I don't really know what he's supposed to be contributing to a hockey conversation. The NHL owners get miffed because they want to be treated like Olympic delegates. You know, these are our players and they're whatever. Well, you know what? That's not how it works. So the thing is, Pyeongchang is not a huge city. It's going to be overrun by the Olympics. So the NHL delegates are going to be flown over and put up for free and hosted by the IOC, all of them, if they want. But they'll have to stay in Seoul, which is, I guess, a 2 hour to 2.5 hour bullet train ride from Pyeongchang. So to get out to the hockey venue and back every night, it's 2 hours each way. Maybe 2.5 hours each way. So it's a long way. Well, they don't like that. They want to pretend that they're part of the Olympic organizing committee. But they're not. But that's how we should be treated. It's not about you. And I get it. It kind of, like, it's your investment. It's your guys. But that's the price of doing business. If you want labor peace, if you want 50-50 everything, then now and then, when they want to go, you're going to have to say, okay. And maybe you don't get to go to Pyeongchang and stay right downtown at the Hilton. I assume there's a Hilton, a nice 5-star Marriott by Hilton in downtown Pyeongchang. I'll have our crack staff get on and look that up. The whole thing is just, man, I've kind of ranted on this for a while now. Even tonight, it's been a longer one than I, you know, wanted to. But the only thing that, if they just came out and said, you know what, we're picking and choosing. This one's bad for business. The next one's good for business. Everyone would at least be able to respect that. You don't have to agree with it, but at least no one's lying to you. I just don't understand how they think they can sell this. And then in 3 years when they want to negotiate the CBA, which the players turned down, you go, wait, you said if we went to the Olympics, you were happy to continue this deal. Now all of a sudden you found something wrong with it? Like, the whole thing just makes no sense whatsoever. We don't want to shut down the league and it's going to cost money and we don't know if we're going to have to stay really far away and whatever. Wait, but if we sign this deal, you're okay with all of that? Well, yeah. Okay. So, to me, it'll be a more... I don't know who's going to win and who's going to lose. But if the NHLers don't go, it's a more interesting process. Let me tell you the guys who get screwed. It's the Steven Stamkoses and the Connor McDavids and the... Like, honestly, and I love Crosby, but he's not a controversial guy. He's not taking a stand against anybody. And he's gone and done it twice. He went to Vancouver, won gold. Went to Russia, won gold. I'm sure he'd like to go again. But it's not the end of the world if he doesn't. Whereas Connor McDavid's never got to do it. Steven Stamkos has never got to do it. Due to age on one and an injury on another. There's guys that you know are going to badly want to do this. Aaron Ekblad. You think he's not on that team in 2 years? If the NHLers are going? So the guys who have the real pull, I'm not sure they're going to have the same incentive. I'm sure they'd like to do it, but are they willing to jeopardize their own reputations over it? Some more than others, but not the good Canadian boys that don't get upset about anything. So it's really about you, the fan. You know, think what you want, and maybe you don't care, and that's okay. But understand while you stand there and watch this guy, the Count, bark bullshit at you, that it's all crap. And that a 35-second Google search will tell you what's actually happening from reputable sources. I'm not a conspiracy guy. I'm just not. But you can just sit there and go, you just said this. And then that problem was solved. And all of a sudden, that's not the problem anymore. You're just a tap-dancing douchebag. Honest to God. That's what we're going to title this show. Glad that came right at the end. Tap Dancing Douchebag. That has been Unforced Errors number 30. Make sure you're following us on Twitter, at TallCanAudio. You can head over on Facebook and hit that like button. That helps us out too. Facebook.com/TallCanAudio. And all the episodes of this show and all the Tall Can Audio Network programs are available at TallCanAudio.com. I'm not sure when you're going to see this. I'm taking a quick scan through Twitter, and it seems like iTunes is still being a little temperamental. But hopefully this gets to you before your Friday commute. If so, have an awesome weekend. If not, have an awesome whatever the hell day it is when you get to this. My name's Matt Robbins, and that was Unforced Errors number 30. See ya.
This one's empty. For more, visit TallCanAudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at TallCanAudio.